do we want to spend our energy on being actors and then being a different version of ourselves? Or do we want to spend our energy on being who we truly are? For me, all your personal power and all of your fulfillment and happiness comes in when you get in alignment with who you truly are and feel safe to be that person. And from my energy work, I can tell you 1,000%, it takes up so much less energy to just be who you truly are than to put something on top of that person, to put a shell on top of that person.
Welcome to Captivate the Room with your host, internationally known voice expert, Tracy Goodwin, an award-winning speaker who has taught hundreds around the globe to make a big impact with their voice. This podcast is for anyone who wants to step onto a bigger stage, make a bigger impact, and have a voice that makes people listen. Presentation matters, and the voice is the missing link. Join in and you'll see why.
Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Tracy Goodwin, and I'm so glad to have you with me today, as always. Thank you so much for your shares and your downloads and for being a subscriber. Really enjoy being on this voice journey with you. And I got to tell you, I came up with an idea, and I want to give you a little brief background about this idea before I start today's episode. You're in for a super treat today, so hang tight with me for a minute. My former assistant, when I lived in New York, she is in Mean Girls on Broadway, and I keep up with her via social media, and she did an Instagram story the other day. You know, I need to start doing those Instagram stories, but I digress. She did this really cool story where she was talking about how she was going to talk about certain things for the month of March because it was Women's History Month. Well, I didn't even know it was Women's History Month, but when I saw her talk about that, I thought, oh my gosh, this is exactly what I have to do for the month of March. So for the entire month, I am bringing on extraordinary women that are doing incredible things with their voices. So I'm super excited about this. I don't want you to miss a single episode, and we start today. And I know you know that I always say how excited I get when I have former clients on and when I have friends on. And today is no different. You are absolutely going to be blown away by my special guest today. Today on the show, I've got Susie Connerly, and she's a rapid transformational therapist who's been working in the wellness arena for 11 years to maximize results, help people achieve real change, and become more of who they truly are. With a background in psychology, energy therapy, and meditation, she has a unique ability to see the origin of where people are shutting themselves down and help them come into full empowerment. Susie is on a mission to revolutionize the way we communicate in our relationships by connecting to who we truly are and finding and freeing our voices for good. Now you know why I wanted her on the show. Susie, welcome. I'm so glad to have you with me today.
Thank you so much, Tracy. I'm so pleased to be here. So excited.
Yeah, and I know I can't wait to talk to you about voice and communication and all this work that you do. Now, see, Susie and I have known each other, I don't know, probably a year or two, at least a year, maybe a little bit longer.
Yeah.
Probably longer.
Yeah, probably a year and a half now.
I think yeah.
First connected. Yep.
And I've had the opportunity to work on both sides with Susie as a client of hers and as a coach for her. So let's just start right there. Let's just start with a little bit of background about what you do in a nutshell, because you do several things. So just kind of give us the brief overview, and then we'll dissect from there.
So the brief overview, I definitely started studying psychology and understanding, you know, the way that our mind works, the way that we relate, and all that goes into that. And then I got really, really deep into energy medicine, energy therapy, and meditation practice. So I sort of started in the mind and then kind of went beyond the mind. And after that, after I started incorporating energy therapy and working with people in that way, I went on to study NLP and then do rapid transformational therapy as well, which is, as you know, this dynamic hypnotherapy modality that's sort of taken the world by storm. And in all of that, I sort of went back into the mind. So I feel like I've gone kind of full circle, you know, starting in the mind and understanding basics really of human psychology, how we relate, why we do what we do. Then went into the energy and spirit and the origin, probably, you know, everything that starts in our energy body first before it manifests anywhere else, before it manifests in our voice, in our body, in our lives. It starts in the energy body first, which is a super fancy way of saying like the seed is planted in kind of a, you know, an esoteric but very powerful way. And people, so in over time, I've developed this ability not only to sort of find out subconscious blocks through hypnotherapy, rapid transformational therapy, but I can also understand in their energy body where it's manifesting and where they're like, I can immediately tell when people are working around something, blocking something, and help them to explore the origin behind what that is, what the root cause is. I think you'd probably use the term secondary gain, but really all of our, you know, workarounds, it's just a mental workaround, trying to avoid pain or avoid something that's uncomfortable or to help us feel safe or secure in some way. Because the mind works the same way for emotional safety as it does for physical safety.
So what I hear you saying, and I want to talk about this energy body, and I definitely want to talk about RTT for a minute, but I almost hear, like equating this to my world, I'll say things like the subconscious literally puts something in the muscle memory in relation to your voice. I kind of hear you saying the same thing. It puts something in the body that creates a very similar block to like a bad voice habit. Is that right?
Exactly the same. Exactly the same. And people really don't have access to why. You know, they might know a partial reason why, or they have, you know, we all have kind of a life story, the parts of our life story that we pay attention to. But these root cause things are so sneaky. As children, it only takes one or, you know, a couple times to experience something in such a powerful way, we can shut ourselves down forever around something.
Oh know? My gosh, just like voice.
Exactly the same.
So can you think of an example off the top of your head? Like maybe something like, and I know you're a relationship expert and we're going to get into relationships. So I maybe thought about a relationship like some kid on the playground doesn't want to play with you. And that implements something that then for the rest of your life, you think nobody wants to hang with me. Mm-hmm. Is that kind of what you're talking about?
Exactly like that. Yeah. And then once we develop these beliefs, these little beliefs about ourselves, as you know, what you focus on just sort of continues to unfold. In a weird way, your mind learns that that's your comfort zone, even if it's a negative comfort zone.
Yeah.
You know, so it starts to just play out these patterns. So the same thing that you experienced at school, you could also have a grandparent that's very grouchy, you know, and you go and try to interact with them and they, you know, and they reject you or they kind of put you off or they have something else to pay attention to. And little kids don't understand that the world is imperfect. They really don't. They think everything is either their fault or their credit, you know, and mostly their fault. We mostly learn how to protect ourselves from negative experiences. Because as you know, and as everybody can understand, it's that we don't pay attention to all the people that we walk into a room and they like us and love us and become our friends. We remember the times we get rejected.
Yes. You know? Yes.
We remember the time something negative happens. And that's the mind's way of trying to make sure that you never expose yourself to that emotional danger again. But what it does is develop these very strong limiting beliefs that we have or subconscious blocks.
Oh my gosh. This is more aligned with I've known this woman forever. I didn't even realize this is even more aligned. We got to do a retreat.
Definitely.
Yeah. Right? Because what I hear you saying is just so similar to what I say. You've got 30-year-old, 40-year-old, 50-year-old people who are navigating the world, not living their best life because of something that wasn't true to begin with.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And when I walk all my clients through this process and help them reframe what happened, you can understand that if you would never do as an adult what happened to you as a child, but you're still carrying around those beliefs from the child perspective that you're at fault for that, it really helps you reframe everything and be like, I wasn't a bad kid. I was a normal child learning about the world.
Yeah.
No, there's nothing wrong with me.
Yeah. And, it's just conversation reminds me so much of a video I saw the other day where it may have been an article I read, but this young man went to prison and they interviewed him and they found out that his entire childhood, his dad said, "You're not ever going to, in fact, you're nothing. In fact, you're going to go to prison." And guess what? He went to prison, right? I mean, it absolutely just cuts my heart into pieces. So now I know you've got the energy work and I know you, this is a big part of it and the NLP and you incorporate all of it. But one of the biggest modalities to rewriting these stories is the RTT, right?
Absolutely.
And that's what I did with you. And it was, guys, if you've never done hypnotherapy, which, I had never done hypnotherapy. It was a little woo for me, and I'm decently woo. But I had heard so many great things about this work. And I don't even remember what we worked on, to be honest with you. That's how it works. You show up, she changes your brain. I don't even remember what we worked on. Right? It's incredibly powerful stuff, but it's incredibly fast. I remember saying to Susie, "Well, don't you think we need 3 or 4 more sessions? And she's like, "Why? Do you want to work on something else?" I had no idea, even having gone through it, the profound impact. So let's talk about RTT for just a minute. It is different than traditional hypnotherapy, yes?
Absolutely. Yeah. So hypnotherapy is incredible in itself in that it just leads you into the subconscious, which is where like literally 90 to 93% of our thoughts every day emanate from the subconscious. It's just subconscious loops that we're in, right?
Yeah.
So beliefs that we developed long ago that we continue to manifest and focus in. And that's where our whole perspective really comes from. Most people try to change from the conscious part of their mind. And it's very ineffectual because you're only addressing what you can see. And the root cause of things is located in that subconscious mind. So it's like the same way that we learn safety and survival, we learn the same things around relationships, communication, and our emotional our nature to protect ourselves emotionally. It gets locked in by the time we're like 7 years old.
Yeah.
Completely patterned into our makeup. So hypnotherapy is just a way to get into that whole realm that's underneath the surface that you can't see. It's almost like if you've ever seen that photo of the iceberg underwater, you see
yes.
the iceberg, and then you look underneath and how it extends to the sea floor, and it's just like massive. That's what hypnosis helps you get under the surface and get into what's really going on. And I would say the vast majority of my clients have a story built up of what they think is the root cause of something. And when we get in there, it might be related, but what's keeping it in place is something so much deeper. And when you free that, that's when you see the massive change. But RTT, which stands for Rapid Transformational Therapy, as you mentioned, is unique in that there's an entire formula to address root causes, help you reframe and change that belief and way that you see yourself, and helps you lock in the wisdom of those experiences. So our minds loop for a reason. It loops because it feels like it's protecting you, keeping you safe from something, or helping you get love. Many people are caught in what we call negative patterns, thinking that's how they earn love, and that's how they, feel safe and significant in their community, within, family and society and our worth and all of this. It's actually located in many patterns that are negative or disempowering for us. It's all of our conditioning, right? Social conditioning thinking that we need to behave or act in a certain way in order to get what we want. And it's all located in the subconscious. And RTT just helps us get in there super effectively. I mean, I can ask very pointed questions of the subconscious mind. Why do you do this? It brings us back to significant memories. And sometimes people will even say, I don't know why I'm remembering this memory. This is so silly. This is coming up and, you know, this happened and that happened. And it's like, when you get down to it, they're like, oh my God, that's so relevant. It contains literally the exact words I use now, or, you know,
wow,
really weird similarities in between the patterns about why those beliefs strengthen in you. And RTT helps us just get in there, address root causes and help you move on and rewrite the story.
Rewrite the story. Yeah, boy, as you were talking, it made me think about my brother. And I know a lot of the listeners have heard me talk about my brother. And I bet this is his deal. You know, my brother knows everything. You know, I tell the Italy story, you know, oh, don't go to Italy. Italy's horrible. Scott, when did you go to Italy? Well, I've never been to Italy, but it's horrible. You know, he has to be the know-it-all. And that's, I bet you could get in his brain and find that story that, you know, my dad probably said something when he was six. And this is exactly what we're talking about, right? Mm-hmm. So he's been repelling people his whole life, not even consciously. And it sounds like, I know with me it was, because I do remember the experience, but it sounds like, and I think this is where people are going to get tripped up, that thought can be so buried in the subconscious that we don't even know what that thought is.
Yeah.
Like what I heard you saying is I might think, well, I'll tell you what's driving this is my mom didn't want me, but we could get in there and you might discover had something to do with Scott Zillweger in the fourth grade on the greenbelt or whatever.
Yeah, absolutely. Or it does have something to do with the fact that your mom didn't want you and these other relevant experiences where you chose to make it about yourself instead of understanding, oh, that's, you know, my mom had her own issues. It has nothing to do with me.
Yeah.
You learn to internalize things.
Yeah.
You know, some of the most massive, you know, change work that I help people do is help them understand what they internalize that has nothing to do with them.
Yeah.
It's not their fault. That has, you know, it really is not a reflection of them. And helped him to what I call externalize other people's feelings, opinions, you know, thoughts. And once you do that, it's like you grow up. It's like you finally move out of the child into the adult. Mm. And all of us, we're really just acting out of this child part of our mind.
Yeah.
Communication, and you use this. What I knew about you that I knew we were so in alignment was you use this word masks. We do the same. We literally carry and wear masks our whole lives, trying to be the role that we feel like we have to or that we had to.
Yeah.
And sometimes even, you know, the child that was the rebel or was the was acting against their family, that's not your real identity either. You know, like a lot of people acting out of that place of needing to be significant or different or get attention in some way. It's the same. It's two sides of the same coin. It's either shutting yourself down or having to act out too much to be significant, but they're both masks.
Oh my gosh. Just like in voice, some people don't say anything. Some people are all like my brother, all loud and knowing it all.
Yeah.
Vocally. Yeah. And it's the same. It's the same mask. It's the same insecurity. People mistake that oftentimes for confidence, and I'm like, that isn't confidence. That guy's just as scared as you are. Same kind of thing.
And where you learn that you shut yourself down, you start to see where other people are putting on their masks too. Exactly like you said that. You know, it's like in a lot in work situations, we think somebody comes across as really accomplished or really powerful, but then when you start to really feel into them, we're like, they talk about the same things all the time. They only talk about what they know. They stick to what they know. They don't contribute to what they don't know. And sometimes they'll say things about what they don't know. And you're, and you know, you can start to really see through it and of course have compassion for people, but it helps you to understand that, oh, they're no more qualified for this.
Yeah.
They're pretending. They're wearing this mask to feel significant, to feel powerful. And by understanding that, I can bring myself into the conversation more fully because I'm seeing that this is an illusion, that this is not real.
God, what freedom in that. What freedom for your people, right?
Huge.
Just like people who can't say what they need to say or can't really use their voice. It has nothing to do with voice at the end of the day. My work is about giving people freedom. Yes. And that's what I think you do as well.
Hugely. Yes.
You know, I want to shift to relationships, but I was thinking about something. I want to say this before we dive into more of your work. I'll tell you, I just want to put this out there for those of you that might have the misconception of what hypnotherapy is. Because I'll be honest with you, I had eyed it before, but I literally was one of those, and this might be you, that thought, oh my gosh, I'm going to be stuck in a trance. I'm going to be wandering around like a zombie the rest of my life. And I don't even know what I'm going to say. I mean, what if I do something crazy, like throw myself off a building or something? It ain't like that. It ain't even remotely like that. And, you know, as soon as I did it, I remember talking to a friend of mine and she was like, I've always wanted to do that, but I was scared that I'd be not like that. That's a common misconception, isn't it? That people think you're going to just be like woo-wooed out for the rest of your life or something, huh?
Yeah, there's a huge misperception in what it feels like to be in hypnosis. And sometimes you feel like you can tell that you're in an altered state of your own consciousness, but you're very aware.
Yeah.
You're in that space and time, that you're exactly where you are, that you are for doing the session, for what you are, you know, exploring what you're exploring. You never lose awareness of what's happening. I think that's misconception number one. People are afraid they're going to lose control. Which is A, not true, and B, thank God you lose control because you see what's going on, you know?
Right? Loosen the grip.
Absolutely. And it's drastically different, of course. RTT and hypnotherapy is drastically different than stage hypnotism. And even all the things that, you know, you can sort of elicit with hypnosis, it's totally besides the point. In hypnotherapy, we use that brain state, that deeper alpha and theta brainwave state to help you achieve what you want.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with me or what I want. It has everything to do with what my clients want. And yeah. I help them get from A to Z in hypnosis.
Yeah.
And you do have to explore things that you haven't realized before. That's the whole point, you know, is uncovering something that was hidden from you before. And I think that's where people get a little nervous, but it really is for the best. When you see something, you can face it. You can integrate it. You can acknowledge it. When you don't see it, you can't, you know?
Yeah.
So it does feel a little like, you know, people are kind of afraid of what they might find, but it's never ever a bad thing. It's always a positive thing.
Yeah. It was great. I mean, I loved it. And Susie's amazing. I mean, she's a hypnotherapy boss lady. She's an RTT therapy boss. I highly recommend. Now, but as we were working together, I discovered that you're also quite the relationship and communication expert, which I know is you're kind of moving into that realm a little bit more than you have in the past, right? I think that's a correct statement. So let's talk about relationships, because that is, you know, probably everybody's greatest challenge is money or relationships, right? Money or relationships. So what, I've got some specific things I want to talk about. But my first question is, what are the biggest things you see, the biggest mistakes, the biggest things in relationships that make you crazy? What is it about relationships that makes you want to jump up and help people?
Well, I think romantic relationships specifically are probably where we have our biggest blind spots, I would say. You know, where we're really unconsciously acting out of limited stories around ourselves, what we think we can get, you know, where we shut ourselves down. And it's kind of like, we try to package everything that we're not getting out of our own lives, out of ourselves, out of our childhood into romantic relationships. Mm. You know, primarily, that's the place where we start to build this story. Well, I didn't get it then, but in my relationship with my partner, my future husband, or my current boyfriend, girlfriend, that's where I can get my needs met. So almost everybody's coming from a space of what I would call lack consciousness. You know, it's almost like when people understand how they have poverty consciousness with money, we have poverty consciousness with love. You know, we really, most people don't understand that they're trying to get something deeper from their relationship that they don't provide in relationship to themselves. You know, a lot of my clients like hate it when I say that, but it's
true.
You're looking from your partner, what you're not willing to do for you, you're always coming from a space of lack.
Wow.
It's like you're trying to drink. It's like you're trying to find an oasis in a desert, but you don't realize you've got a water bottle in your backpack. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
And to meeting your own emotional needs. And of course, relationships help reflect what's beautiful and what's wonderful, what's possible. And we can get support and community and amazing things from our partnerships. But if you're always coming from that space of lack within yourself, you're not going to find fulfillment outside of you, or it's going to be temporary, or you're going to unconsciously associate your own emotional safety with that other person. And it's so disempowering and not true.
Yeah.
It's not true. It's not real. There's nothing somebody else can do for you that you can't do for yourself. It just doesn't work like that.
I bet that is the biggest thing.
Huge.
That's huge that you see that.
And probably the other thing I see people doing is not understanding why they basically attract a different person, or the same person, different body, I call it. You know what I mean?
Ooh, like, yeah.
Relationship patterns that we're like, oh, I always get the people who are like this, or who do this, or who, you know, and that's really, really fascinating where we get into this conditioning, what we've conditioned ourselves to relate to other people, where we unconsciously feel our worth is in relationships. And people are just on these negative cycles and feeling totally lost about why they attract these relationships again and again.
I want to ask something about that. And this is selfish gain on my part, you guys. So just hang in, because I know a lot of you are going to relate to this. You've heard me talk about my narcissistic mother. And of course, I married a narcissist. So is that what you're talking about? Totally. And so we've got to address that core wound, or whatever you want to call it, or we're going to keep trying to marry our mother.
Exactly.
And the issue is not with the new guy. The issue goes all the way back to the relationship with the mother or the father or whoever, right?
Right. And it's really in your conditioning. You achieve understanding that by looking very closely at your conditioning and the patterns that you developed around your relationships when you were young. You know, essentially, what were you groomed to be?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
If you have a parent who's like that, who's narcissistic, you literally learn to put your needs on the back burner.
Yep.
Everybody else's needs come first, because it's unconsciously, which is probably your way of feeling safe and secure, is by meeting mommy's needs.
Absolutely.
You probably made them so important. There was hell to pay.
Hell on steroids to pay.
And children learn like that. They learn so quickly what they have to do to fit in, to feel significant, to feel loved, to not cause chaos.
Yeah.
You know, they learn very quickly. And that's where your conditioning started, is in those relationships. So by the time you met your husband, you probably had no idea that conditioning was so deeply buried in what you would call muscle memory.
Yeah.
You know, in that experience, when you meet that person, when you meet the man that you ended up marrying, he probably just felt familiar to you in some way. And we think that that's a positive thing. Sometimes familiarity means it's actually unhealthy for you.
Yeah. 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 Oh, for sure. And I've always believed, and I don't know if this lines up with your work or not, but I've always believed in, and nobody's ever validated that this is real for me, but I read about this in a book, and I really, it made a lot of sense to me, that there are unspoken agreements within ourselves. Like, if I could get this relationship with my husband right, if I could do it right, if I could be, you know, be good enough, if I could, then my mother would love me.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. So there's some merit to that.
Yeah. It's like, we think if we can fix this, we can fix anything.
That's right. And it makes it all okay.
Internal wound.
Yeah.
And people are constantly looping around that. And nobody wants to admit that. You know, we all like to think that we're super evolved, you know, and
I've heard you say that
we are in amazing ways. It's like, as much work as you do, if you don't do this, if you don't expose these deep things, you don't expose them. That's, I think, for me, when I really started to unfold all of this in my own life, that was the one thing I was most shocked about. I had done so much work in so many other areas. And they were great, but it only worked in those other areas because I hadn't really drilled down on my own relationship patterns. Nothing changed. And I just felt like, as long as I'm focusing on all of these big, amazing, you know, self-improvement areas, it'll eventually improve. And it was not the case at all. All of the blocks that I had around relationships were still in place until I addressed them head on specifically.
Yeah.
And in that, like what you say when people address their voice, they, you know, you say that they're leaving money on the table. It's exactly the same with relationship patterns. We're unconsciously spending so much energy in all the wrong areas, really. Yeah. You know, yeah. It's like we want something, but we go about it in such a sideways or such a roundabout way, unconsciously, we don't realize we're not going for what we really want.
Yeah, boy, that's powerful. And there's stories there too, right? That you can't have what you want.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. And you know, I've spent a lifetime, I'm a, you know, professional self-help. You know, I had a lot to work on when you're raised in a family where you're not allowed to speak, you're going to have some issues. Okay. Let's just call it what it is, right? But it was even in my 40s, I was still saw how much was in that box of my narcissistic mother and how much work there was to do. And I'm grateful for the work. The work is not easy, but I look at my siblings who have never done any work, and you can compare my joy in life. Well, it's incomparable.
Yeah.
I mean, there is no joy in their lives. And I think that, you know, really at the end of the day, what I love so much about your work, whether it's RTT or energy or whatever it is that after working with you or working with you, like I give people freedom, you give people freedom and you give them their joy back.
Yes, absolutely.
Because I've just seen women especially, I'm sure it happens to men, but I have seen women and young women just tortured. I don't mean literally tortured, but mentally, emotionally tortured. I see it in my life right now. They're tortured in these relationships. And I, standing on the outside, I can see it as clear as glass. No comprehension of what's going on.
Yeah. And we've even talked about this specifically, about how women alter their voices asking permission,
you know,
in a new environment, especially younger women in relationships and in work, you know, they make their voice a little bit higher. Sometimes they laugh or giggle. It's like they're unconsciously showing up and asking for permission to belong and saying, I'm not threatening, you know, I'm cute as a button. I'm, you know what I mean? All these things that we do to shift and mold people's perception of us so that we can fit into the box that we feel is available to us.
Not
what we think is available and what we can get. And even now I hear some of this advice around how women should show up in their career, about how women are perceived, is just based on these same limiting BS paradigms that we've been living in for centuries. And I am over it.
Yeah.
Feeling like this is what you get to do. This is the area. This is the box we give you permission to exist in. And this is how you achieve success in that box. I'm like, screw that box. That's the whole problem. So all of our empowerment lies within what we're, our true alignment with ourselves. And we don't get there by asking permission.
Yeah.
We get there by claiming our own space and saying, this is what's possible. I'm creating a new reality just by showing up and being who I am. And sometimes the most terrifying things that we can do is be seen for who we truly are, what we truly think. And showing up in that way terrifies most people.
Oh, terrifies them. Even in my work. You know, you want me to reveal, you want me to, but the CEO is going to be at the table. You want me to see, yeah, I want you to say that because the truth is in my work, and let's see if this is the truth in your work. That's what the CEO actually wants. You are perceiving that you have to be this and be that and can't rock the boat and play nice when really the CEO or CFO or manager or whoever is over there going, God, I wish he'd stand up for something.
Yeah.
Is it the same?
Absolutely. Because it unconsciously gives other people permission to be themselves too.
Yeah.
If you have the courage to be who you truly are, whether or not people consciously realize that, they feel more comfortable around you. I work with countless people. I'm sure it's the same for you, Tracy, that you help people just reveal who they are actually in relationships with other people, and people respond like moths to a flame. All of a sudden they start coming up to them after a work event or, you know, at a happy hour or a new friend, and just really connects with just the fact that you're being true to yourself and saying what you really mean and meaning what you say.
Yeah. You
know, even the CEO came from somewhere, has childhood routine, you know, has these, they might seem like they have it all together and might have achieved a lot of success, which this success and achievement lie, people are waking up to the fact that that doesn't make you feel what you're, all of these things that you truly want, like exactly what we were talking about earlier. Like we're trying to get something by working in a roundabout way, and all it gets you is that achievement. It does not equal self-worth. It does not equal happiness. You know, yeah. And permanent things. That's when people achieve something and they're like, what's next? It's never enough.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, for sure. For sure. And, you know, I think everybody's got, whether they act like it or not, everybody's got something they're working on. You know, I mean, people will say to me often, yeah, but look, you can do this so easy. And my response is always, yeah, but trust me, I got my own bag over here that I'm trying to sort through. I've got this part. But I don't, but there's so much work to do. And so it really is the brave one who does the work.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's a huge difference in, you know, I can feel now when someone uses these words authentic and vulnerable and when they're actually showing vulnerability.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
That in the voice. And we've talked about before. It's like you can tell when somebody's acting or playing. If you start to really pay attention to that, and at least I'm only attracted to people who walk their talk, period, end of story. I don't have to feel like you're perfect. I don't have to feel like you're, you know, you have it all together. I don't have to put you on a pedestal because I've taken people off of pedestals knowing that that was just conditioning. You know, we learn to make people perfect in our mind in this age of social media. People can have literally two identities. They can have their social media identity and off of social media, but just be a completely different person in what they're actually doing in their relationships and their lives. And not saying that any of us should have it all figured out, but people who have a drive to create more of a divide between their online or work presence and their who they truly are in their relationships and their life are suffering.
Yeah.
Really, really suffering. I have compassion for them. But I don't feel drawn to learn from those types of people because in my understanding, that's the exact opposite of your personal power. If you are misaligned with the image that you're putting out in, you know, to people and wanting the greater community to feel like you're this type of person and secretly you're not, those types of people are the people who have not begun to unravel their conditioning and integrate that into their work. And essentially you're just, if you're learning from those types of people, you're learning to just be a lie, essentially. Like what I love about your work, Tracy, is that what drew me to you so quickly is that you just help people communicate who they truly are. I feel like so many other voice coaches and many people are just teaching you how to look like you're something that you're not in order to achieve some external, you know, money or job or, you know, but it's pretending. When you buy into that pretend version of you, there's an unconscious fear that develops that people can't see who you truly are. And that is the opposite of what you do. You help people integrate who they truly are into their own work and life so that they feel okay about.
Yeah. And I agree. I mean, I try not to criticize my colleagues because a lot of them do great work, but it doesn't work to be all, turn it on and all technique. And here we go. Because of my philosophy, I believe that we were all born with it. We were all born with a great voice and revealing who we are. And then the world got in the way before we were seven and shut it all down. So it's just taking people back to one in my mind. So thank you for saying that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true. It's true. Because do we want to spend our energy on being actors and on being a different version of ourselves? Or do we want to spend our energy on being who we truly are? For me, all your personal power and all of your fulfillment and happiness comes in when you get in alignment with who you truly are and feel safe to be that person. And from my energy work, I can tell you 1,000%, it takes up so much less energy to just be who you truly are than to put something on top of that person, to put a shell on top of that person. That takes so much energy. And that's why you see people, you know, in the public eye just shrinking over time and you know, getting all of these external sort of things in place because they don't feel safe to be who they truly are.
Yeah.
And that is sad.
Well, it's exhausting. And even when you were talking about it before, you know, it's, and some people come to me, they get to me, they're exhausted trying to be what they think people want them to be.
Yeah.
And that you just eventually, that is eventually going to get you. You may not be 70 until it gets you, but you will eventually get so exhausted. And my deal on it is, Why miss out on all that freedom? Let's go. Let's do this.
Right.
You know, because to have the freedom, and I don't, you know, I mean, I every once in a while I'll go, ooh, maybe I shouldn't have said that. But to be free of judgment of what other people think, there it is right there, right? People are eaten up. And now more than ever, because like you said, social media, we're even more eat up with it than ever. That fear of I don't look good enough, or I don't sound good enough, or I'm not smart enough, or my car's not nice enough, or all of it. It's exhausting.
And it's sad because there's always going to be another person who creates another hoop for you to jump through. You know, that game never ends. You're constantly just disempowering yourself to the outside world. And you know, if you're waiting for other people to approve of you, you're going to wait your whole life because there's many people out there who don't.
Yeah. Well, you know, that was one of my big deals that I realized with my own mother, that I had been working my entire life to get her approval. And when years ago, when it became clear to me that was never going to happen, boy, that bought me a lot of freedom.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a self-imposed prison that we put ourselves in.
Yep.
So when it comes to communication and relationships, is there one thing that you can think of that is the big, like, the, oh my gosh, this is the biggest thing I see in communication and, you know, how we talk to each other. Can you think of anything off the top of your head?
God, it's mostly just that people don't even understand where they're shutting themselves down. You have a partnership, especially if you've been together past the honeymoon period and your partner doesn't know how you truly feel about something. You got to really ask yourself why, you know, not in a confrontational way, but I always encourage people to be curious. The subconscious works. We can communicate with the subconscious, but most people just focus on what they don't want, or they they're hard on themselves. They're unconsciously critical, right? Or just they think about what they don't want instead of just being curious about why they are the way they are without blame and shame, you know, without these negative glasses on. We put on little, you know, happy glasses, rose-colored glasses, sunny glasses, and be like, gee, I wonder why I don't tell him how I feel about that. Yeah. Or I wonder why I constantly pretend like that's okay with me when it's not. You know, why do we do that?
Yeah, why do we do that? Is that perfection? Is that fear of judgment? Is that fear of, I don't want to lose this person? I would think that plays in a lot.
Like that. It's feeling like that. You know, we make like a castle out of sugar cubes, if you will. You know, we try to pretend that we are a certain way, or that we try, we only hedge our bets as so far as to what we think that we can get, you know, or to, we unconsciously do not want to rock the boat, you know, and that is a huge thing I see people doing, no matter how powerful they are and what their, how big their personality is or how strong they seem to be. You really get down to it and they're not telling people how they feel in romantic relationships. They're not. You know, and it's something that's so fascinating, but it's conditioning. It's social conditioning. What we were conditioned to believe that we could say, what was acceptable. Even people who will really rock the boat in other areas, many of them won't rock the boat in their romantic relationship. You know, it's unconsciously, it's our safety and survival. We're primitive beings. We're primal. We have this subconscious primitive lizard brain, as you'd call it. And we shut our voices down to fit into the tribe.
Yeah. Belonging. Know? We all want to belong.
Right. In our romantic relationships, from the psychology perspective, we start to get enmeshed with that person. So this relationship starts to feel so, so important. You know, like this is where a lot of cards in our deck are in these romantic relationships. So that's why I think that people don't rock the boat. And especially working with women, it's fascinating how they start to try to see themselves through the eyes of their partner rather than showing up and being like, is this the right person for me?
Yeah.
We're constantly doing that.
Yeah.
You know, we're constantly trying to mold ourselves into what our partner needs. And instead of asking us, does he have the qualities that I want in a relationship? You know, and if it's a no, a lot of people feel afraid of confronting that and really seeing that, you know, like they're pulling the wool over their own eyes because they know that there's something about their partnership isn't right for them, but they don't feel safe to say that. But I would counter that with, once you recognize that, you can start to see where your needs aren't being met, start to meet them yourself, and then determine whether or not your partner fits into that equation.
Yeah.
You know, it should always be from the inside out, and we're always trying to do relationships from the outside in.
Oh, so good. Yeah. And you know, for me, it was a big part of it was path of least resistance.
Yes.
You know, and that's, I think, what distresses me the most is when I look back and I knew.
Yeah.
I knew. It wasn't like I didn't know.
Right. Right. But you tried to pretend.
Yes, totally. Exactly what you're talking about. Yeah. Path of least resistance. Oh, it's no big deal. It's just, you know, it's that. It's, you know, justification. And it was exhausting. And that's, you know, it's hard to look back and see that I saw.
Yeah.
But I didn't do it different. And so that's where people like you can swoop in and help people do it different.
And it's easier than you think. Easier than you think. It just causes you to have to look at some things very clearly and process them. But the process is actually, once you do it, truly fear is false evidence appearing real.
Yeah.
Everything that we're afraid is going to happen if we speak our truth, most of it does not happen. And if it does happen, if something does happen, like a relationship breaks down or you realize, oh, maybe that friend isn't the right person, isn't the right friendship, it's always a positive thing because you realize how many other areas you're self-sacrificing. And we are not human sacrifices. We were not born to live lives in human sacrifice to one another. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. We were born to just be ourselves. That's it. You know?
Yeah, it is. It is truly such a gift when we can see that, hey, this isn't working out, and get out.
Right.
You know, you hear people talk about that when people unsubscribe from their email list. You'll hear business coaches or people say, that's good, actually, that you, they're not your people. They're not going to buy from you. That's great. Yet when it comes to relationships, you know, it's just, people just hold on to the bitter end. I remember working with this woman. You guys have heard me talk about her before. At some point, I have to get her on the show. And I was holding on to something. You know, this was back in my early 30s, maybe even when I'm late 20s. I was holding on to something, and this is graphic, but it's just such a great visual of who I was and who I think we tend to be. I remember saying to her, I surrendered it. And she said, yeah, for 5 minutes. And then we had to rip it from your bloody stumps because you hold on so tight, Tracy. You know, and we do. And I think so much of that is because we take it as a negative reflection of our own capabilities.
Yeah. Yeah, it works the same. Our subconscious works the same for emotional safety as it does for physical safety. You don't have to think about moving your hand away from a fire. It just happens. The same things happen with our emotional safety. Our subconscious mind creates such quick workarounds. If it thinks something is dangerous, it won't even let you near success. It won't even let you near, you know, getting out of that crappy relationship. It feels that the safety is in those patterns, in shutting yourself down, or in playing it safe, or in just go along with the crowd. You can't stick your head out of the water. You're going to get smacked. Or, you know, it's so strong. It's like people don't even realize where they're making those choices, because the subconscious creates such quick loops that you're hidden from seeing where you're making those choices, you know?
Yeah.
When it's so deeply, like what you'd say, muscle memory, it's so deeply built in there. You have to just get in there and understand what is keeping it in place and free it. And I tell you, I have never worked with a client who saw a root cause and wasn't able to deal with it. It's always like, thank God I can see that now.
Yeah.
Because I can see where I've been buying into this lie, or I can see where I've been unconsciously repeating this pattern because of, you know, something that wasn't even true.
Yeah. 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 And not even knowing. I think that's what's so mind-bending to me, is that some of it is so deeply buried, you know, that you don't even know what the thought is that's driving it. So how can you fix it if you don't even know what it is you're trying to fix?
Right.
Right?
Right.
But you just get in there and whoop, whoop, and off you go.
Understanding the way the mind works is one of the most empowering things, because you can then start to observe where you're working around things in your own life and where you're unconsciously keeping yourself from discomfort or perceived danger. And once you start to just understand how it works, you start taking it less personally, because every human mind works essentially the same way. We all work around things. They just manifest in very different ways in our lives, you know? And you know, nobody invented shame or guilt. Nobody invented, you know, sadness. We all experience the same range of human emotions. And people take it so personally, like somehow they're the whole source of all of the shame in the world. And it's not true. You know,
yeah.
An aspect of an emotion that you're feeling that your mind wants to avoid. And when you realize the way that your mind is trying to work around things, you have so much compassion for yourself, for your mind, and you can finally work through it, because it's the negative emotions or the negative beliefs about ourselves that keep it in place, ironically. You know, and understand that A, it's not personal to you. B, it's not true. Most of it, you know, most of the perception that my clients have about themselves, I'm like, I see somebody who's so strong and powerful, who lived through an incredible amount of adversity and came out to be, you know, you're working, you're raising a family, you're doing things better, you're doing things differently. You continue to work on yourself. Like, I'm sure your people are the same as my people. They are seekers. They are continuing to better themselves in every area of their lives. And that is victory, you know? And when people really see what's possible, what they've already been through, they see how much more they can achieve. Because if you realize what you've been through unconsciously and what you chose to sort of rise above and up level, you see when you conscientiously put your energy there, what's possible.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just a reframe.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just a reframe. It really is just that easy.
Yeah.
You know,
and our most painful and negative things that happen in our lives are the things that teach us the most. So many people get caught in the old story or in the pain, and it's like, it's just here to teach you something. Learn it. I would say preserve the wisdom, ditch the drama, you know, preserve the learning, ditch the drama, like let it go. Once you learn something, really learn it, take it in all the way, and then let go of the excess stuff. Cause all of that other stuff just takes up a ton of energy and prevents you from moving on. You know, the mind constantly thinks it has to remember negative things so it doesn't repeat them. And that's not true. When you learn something and you'd be like, oh, and then you spot that person the next time, you're like, I learned this lesson before.
Yeah, right.
What someone who's not honest brings. I know when someone's trying to hide something and I have compassion for that person, but I don't need to do this relationship again. I've learned.
Yeah, that's powerful.
Something different now.
Yeah.
That's empowerment. That's learning from the mistake and not choosing to blame that other person and being like, okay, I know what this has taught me, and I choose a different path.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good stuff. That's good stuff. I know you work with people privately. Are you going to do some kind of course? Are you going to put a relationship communication course together? I think you should. Are you?
Yeah, I think that some of my next work is definitely around communication directly, just understanding our communication styles and where we're shutting ourselves down and how to come into empowered communication, you know, by reconnecting to yourself and feeling safe to say what you mean what you say, draw boundaries, all of those good things. And I know that half your listeners probably just recoiled when I said boundaries, but when you do them correctly, it's freeing. It's not limiting. It's the most freeing thing that you'll do. But connection and communication are the way that we choose to interact with the world. It really is our point of power and testing. You know, some people don't even feel comfortable to ask the questions of their potential partner what really matters.
Yeah.
That's when you get into alignment. If you're in full alignment with yourself and you're approaching communication from an aligned space, you find out really quickly about whether or not a business deal is right for you, a personal relationship is right for you, you know, all of these things. It just saves so much time and energy, Tracy.
Yeah.
And helps you to move into the life that you're really wanting to live instead of spending all this time on things that you feel like just drop in your lap or that are easy to get, but you don't want.
Yeah. Well, and I think I love that you said that. I think it's spot on. And I think that I just want to add one thing to that is we have to be willing to know that just because he's cute, there might be something better.
Yeah.
Right. Or just because she's, you know, cute or got, you know, nice, or that's not a slam dunk. Mm-hmm. That we have to be willing. And that was just a huge lesson for me. Mm-hmm. That I have to be willing to not have to have it my way.
Yeah.
That there could be something better.
Something better. Yeah.
And sometimes when we're in it, it's hard to, because we want what we want, right? We want what we want.
We want what we want, or we think that certain external factors mean a certain internal thing in the relationship, and it is never true. You know, like we've talked about this, people dating people, and you think, oh, they're a certain age, or they're a certain amount of accomplishment in their career, or they're a spiritual person, or a this type of person, or they use this, you know, all these really words that feel nicey-nice, like they would be a great person relationship. And people's relationship patterns are unfortunately so unpredictable. Yeah. It's never what you think based on external factors. That's why you have to get into these nitty-gritty things around communication, around connection, around really seeing through the facade, through the glass castle, you know, and about what's actually going on. And you determine that by communicating with them and seeing what they're saying and what they're not saying.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's huge, huge indicators about where someone is in their relationship patterns based on how they communicate. And if their actions match their words. A lot of communication is going on nonverbal too, you know?
Yeah, that's good.
If someone's actions do not match their words, that is a very clear indicator there's a conflict in their mind, that they are having an internal conflict and that has nothing to do with the other person.
Yeah. Well, this is good. You know, my audience may have recoiled when you said boundaries, but I thought, well, there's another episode. We're going to have Susie back because I've been wanting to talk about boundaries because that's very much a voice thing. So we'll definitely have to have you back if you'll come back.
I would love to.
Do another episode with me, or two or five.
Yes. Boundaries itself could be.
I know. Boundaries itself could probably be two or three or five. But all right. Well, listen, we're going to wrap it up. But I want to know, do you work with women and men or just women?
Yes, I work with women and
men. Okay. And where do my people find you? They go over to your website or YouTube or what? Tell us.
Website is probably the quickest way to get in touch with me and to get, I have a free download on helping you heal relationship stuff. It's super, super amazing self-guided hypnosis meditation. It's at my website, susieco.com. It's SUSIECO.com. And my YouTube channel is just Susie Co. So it's SUSIECO. And they can go there and check out. I've done some, you know, some instructional videos, some things to look out for in new relationships. I did a thing about for Valentine's Day, a 9-day journey of loving yourself more, which contains some practical tips and tricks about that. And they can find out more there.
Good. Well, I think a lot of people, maybe everybody could benefit from a little more self-love. For sure. I think that's the hardest thing we learn to do. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Go over and check out her videos. I highly encourage you to reach out to Susie if anything today has fascinated you. I adore her and her work. And I'm going to put her links in the show notes. So you don't have to look too far. Just check the show notes. Click on the link. Tell her I sent you. Tell her you heard her on the podcast. And she'll fix you right up. I'm telling you, it's really amazing when we I didn't know such tools existed, really. But to find her was such a great gift. And everything you said today, I'm just loved every minute of you being here. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having me. It has been my pleasure.
And we'll definitely have you back. We're going to have you come back, and we're going to talk about boundaries and more communication stuff. Because
that would be awesome.
Yeah. You got some skills. You got some good knowledge in there. It's great. It's really, really great. And I know my listeners, I know you've gotten so much out of this, but I'm going to wrap it up for today. So until I see you next time, you know what to do. Get out there and speak your truth. Just do it beautifully.
Thanks for listening to Captivate the Room with Tracy Goodwin. You can reach out to her at captivatetheroom.com and be sure to grab the voice formula. A free video series that will help you start making a bigger impact with your voice today. If you've enjoyed this episode, please leave a review on iTunes.